You are listening to a sermon by Henry Neufeld, recorded on Sunday, June 10th, 2012, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
A few days ago, I was asked if I would speak loud enough so that everybody could hear. So I said I would try to do that. So if you can't hear, you can either throw something at me, wave, or get my attention somehow. A number of years ago, before the age of computers and iPods, a friend who was attending a Moravian church told us that her pastor said that the biggest problem in society was loneliness. Well, I've not forgotten that brief conversation, and I've often wondered about its accuracy. And then some years later, a colleague told me, a social work colleague, to answer the previous question, that if you had three friends, you were very fortunate. And I was somewhat surprised at that comment. And in thinking about it, I thought, well, I've got people I know, I've got acquaintances, and I've got friends, so I guess I'm very fortunate. I want to read a prayer of a lonely teenager. Dear God, I know I have much to be thankful for, but I am so bored and lonely, and because I am a Christian, I feel guilty for feeling this way. Why can't I have friends to do things with? Do you hate me? I know I need to quit thinking of me and focus on you, but that's easier said than done. Please give me the strength to overcome this. There was a recent article in the Atlantic magazine entitled, "Is Facebook Making Us Lonely?" And the article describes a former Playboy model that died in Los Angeles last August at the age of 83. She lay dead in her apartment for almost a year. And the writer states, with no children, no religious group, and no immediate social circle of any kind, she looked elsewhere for companionship. On the internet, she found distant former fans, and her connections grew broader but shallower. And the article goes on to say that we are consumed by more and more novel ways of socializing and connecting, yet we have never been more detached or lonelier. In 1950, 10% of U.S. households had one person. Today, nearly a third of all households have only one resident. And looking at the size of new Vancouver condos, many less than 700 square feet, there is barely room for more than one person. So we have some enforced loneliness or aloneness. Now, loneliness and being alone are not the same. Solitude can be wonderful. It's a protracted aloneness that becomes problematic. A University of California survey in 2010 found that 35% of adults over 45 were chronically lonely. So does the internet make people lonely, or are lonely people simply more attracted to the internet? It seems that people who experience loneliness on Facebook are lonely away from Facebook as well. In the 18 to 34 age group, 28% checked their Facebook before getting out of bed. I was going to say getting out of bed in the morning, but that's another assumption. So what Facebook reveals about human nature is that a connection is not the same as a bond, and that instant electronic connection is not a ticket to a happier life. An article in the New Yorker this spring points out that social interaction matters and is important, and most of us know that. And sometimes I think our coffee time after church is more important than the sermon. And you'll probably be thinking that today as well. And that's okay. Even monastic seclusion is another way of being together. They have small rooms. Look at the rooms in this facility. But there is significant social interaction much of the time. Even Henry David Thoreau, despite his advocacy for solitude, and he lived at Walden Pond for 2 years, he went into Concord regularly for his mother's cooking or a meal at a local bar. The same New Yorker article reports that during the Chicago heat wave of 1995, hundreds of people died living alone. Not so much because of the heat, but because their solitary lives left them without any social network. They had no connections. Eric Kleinberg of New York University studied aloneness in 7 U.S. cities, and he found that aloneness is a result of our mainstream liberal values, such as women's liberation, urbanization, technology, longevity, work opportunities that require people to move frequently, and deferred marriages. He described the people he interviewed as insecure, proud of their freedom, but hungry for contact, anxious, smug, and occasionally scared. They live out the ideal of a cult of individualism. And individualism does not foster community or cooperation. And apparently, cooperation as a skill is being lost. Last October, Jeff Ragsdale posted flyers in Manhattan that said, "If anyone wants to talk about anything, call me." Within a day, he had about 100 calls and text messages. When that announcement went on the web, the number of calls jumped to 700 a day. The problem is serious for elderly people. One friend of ours, a former business executive, with whom I have coffee, is looking for something productive to do. When I asked him recently what he was doing on a long weekend, he said one of his ex-wives had invited him for dinner. He's lucky he has at least one caring ex-wife, and I don't know how many ex-wives he has. Loneliness. Lacking companions or companionship. Dejection from being alone. Feeling sad, remote, feeling secluded. When people say they're bored, especially teenagers, they usually mean they're lonely. Loneliness will hit us all at one time or another. And sometimes Tina says to me that we need to get together with some people. "I need to laugh," she says. And that gives you some idea how exciting life is. Loneliness includes feelings of inner emptiness that can be accompanied by sadness, discouragement, a sense of isolation, restlessness and anxiety, and even an intense desire to be wanted and needed by someone. There is this big difference between solitude and loneliness. Solitude is usually voluntary. It's a voluntary withdrawal, and it can be very refreshing. Loneliness is usually not voluntary. It's usually forced on us. Mother Teresa's diaries do not reveal any remarkable accounts of God's presence. Rather, they speak of loneliness, of alienation, of a sense of abandonment, of not finding or hearing God. When you look to the Bible, we find, as John Milton has said, that loneliness is one of the first things that God named. Right back at the very beginning, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And in the Bible, loneliness as a subject is rarely discussed. Yet it is evident in the lives of many giants of the faith. And we can see it in the life of Jacob, Moses, Job, Elijah, and David. And David at one point says, "I am desolate and afflicted. I have been left and deserted." And the scripture readings we had reinforced all of this. The prophet Elijah tried to turn the Israelites away from the worship of Baal. He killed all the prophets of Baal. And the result was that King Ahab made plans to have Elijah and other Jewish prophets killed. Elijah fled to the desert. He was tired, he was depressed, and he was lonely. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't go by himself. He took several disciples with him. Jesus felt rejected by his own people, and near the end of his ministry in the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples fell asleep, and later they deserted him. The path Jesus walked was an intensely lonely one. The early church, as described in the book of Acts, required that followers be interdependent. They had all things in common. They needed each other in a voluntary, enforced way. They had to cooperate. We don't have that requirement. And today, it's primarily the Hutterites in their colonies who have maintained a somewhat strict communal life. In the book, I Am Hutterite, Marianne Kirkby describes spending her first 10 years of life on the Fairholme Hutterite colony near Portage la Prairie. She describes those childhood years as nearly idyllic, and she has some beautiful descriptions of that. Then she talks about how difficult it was to adjust to the broader society when at age 10, her family left the colony and moved into the general rural areas of Manitoba. And here's what she describes going to school the first day. She's wearing a 10-year-old long Hutterite skirt. Hot pants and ringlets were the rage on the playground. So you can just imagine what we faced on that first day of school. It was absolutely shocking. You cannot go from a Hutterite dress to hot pants. And who's going to teach us how to curl our hair? Kirkby, who's now a TV producer in Saskatchewan, still looks forward to visits to the Hutterite colonies. I missed it terribly. I loved life in the Hutterite colonies, she says of her childhood. I love to go back for visits, and when we all speak in our language, it's the most wonderful feeling to me. Well, people go to great lengths to avoid loneliness. It's unpleasant. No one wants to experience the emptiness that comes from being isolated and cut off. A friend of ours had a clothing store in Vancouver Island, and she said elderly women would come in regularly and repeatedly, chat at some length, then buy something and leave. Our friend was convinced that they were buying items they did not need. They were coming into the store to talk because they were lonely. So, as we face our own lonely times, we can be thankful for this Christian community where we are drawn, at least somewhat, into a relationship with others. We know we are not isolated and have others who will accompany us on our journey. At the same time, people can feel alone, even in the church and even at coffee time. In conclusion, I have one suggestion and one question. My suggestion is about our MCC thrift stores. They attract a lot of people. Some of the people I expect are lonely. And I suggest that thrift stores develop a coffee corner where people could sit and chat. And pastors, as a condition of employment by their church, could be required to provide half a day a week of their time to be there to talk with people. My question: if a church were to develop a strategy to deal with loneliness, what would that look like?